You've heard me talk about CTC Math for some time now, but have you tried it out yet? CTC Math provides online video tutorials that make learning math easy and effective. This online math program uses creative graphics and animation that are sure to grab and keep your child's attention. Start your free trial today by visiting ctcmath.com. That's ctcmath.com. Hey everyone, this is Yvette Hampton. This week, we're excited to bring you one of the many fantastic sessions we recorded live for the Homegrown Generation Family Expo. This one was by far one of our most popular sessions from the Expo. Be encouraged as you listen to part one of my conversation with Rachel Carmen called What About That Child? Welcome, Rachel Carmen. I am so excited that you are here with me today.
I am too. It's good to see you again.
Yes, you too. I have so enjoyed getting to know you over the last few weeks. We did I shouldn't say a few weeks. I actually met you a long time ago, but we did a podcast a few weeks ago on marriage, yeah. And that one was one of our top podcasts that we've done.
Oh, great. I'm so glad.
And so I'm so excited to have you back again now for this live event. Yes. It has been a lively day. It's been a really exciting day. We have had some amazing speakers already. We had Andrew Pudua, Heidi St. John, and then Kathy Barnett was just on. And so
a great lineup.
It has been a great lineup, and I can't think of anyone else better to finish off these sessions than you. So thank you so much for joining us. I am so glad to have you on. I would love for you, for those who may not be familiar with who Rachel Carmen is, to tell us a little bit about you and your family.
Okay, so I am married to Davis Carmen. We just celebrated 33 years of marriage. We have 7 children. We have 5 homeschool graduates. We're about to have 4 college graduates, and we are still home educating our youngest 2 sons, who are 16 and 18. I'm looking up because I still have to think about it. I remember trips to the pediatrician, and they would ask for the child's birthday, and I would go, just a sec. I'm about to have it. And everybody else just knew off the top of their head. So yeah, 7 kids. We started out highly critical of home education, did not want to do this. It was great for other people, just not for us. And then God put circumstances in our lives. The story of how he went before us is glorious. Story for another day.
Oh, but no. Can you tell us the condensed version of it?
Yeah, I can. So okay. We were in Akron, Ohio at the time. We had our first son there, and the neighborhood brought dinner over to us, and Davis took the dishes back to the woman across the street, and, you know, because I couldn't because I was nursing the infant. And when he came in and I said, so are they nice? You know, because we hadn't met anybody. We were new to the neighborhood and everything. And he goes, yeah, they homeschool. And I was like, well, the school's across the street. He goes, yeah, they homeschool. So that was the first time we'd ever heard about it. And that was God going before us. And then for 3 years, 4 of the women on the street that I got together with once a week homeschooled. And so for 3 years, I made fun of them. And nice. Then when we moved, we bought a house in the best school district in Charlotte. And God orchestrated circumstances wherein our son was put on no bus the first day and the wrong bus the second day. And we pulled him out 13 days later. So It was just God. And the way he went before us and showed me people who did it, who were sane and who loved the Lord, that was only something that God could do. So that's our brief story. So we didn't want to do this. And now not only are we in our 24th year of home education, we own a homeschool curriculum company. Who knew? So we are the owners of Apologia Educational Ministries, which is Bible worldview and science curriculum. And actually today we launched math curriculum. So that's who we are. So that's Davis and Rachel Carmen.
Yep, I love it. And I know Davis talks about how you've got your 2 boys on the front end, 2 boys on the back end, and your 3 girls in the middle. So your boys kind of sandwich those girls of yours.
It's true. Yeah.
That is so exciting. I love hearing the different stories about how people come into homeschooling because everyone has a different story about
it. Yeah.
And it's just neat to see how the Lord just gets a hold of everyone's heart in different ways. And then we all kind of join this community of what ends up becoming like-minded families. And we realize that we're not alone in this and we're all in this together. We get to go down this road of education and family discipleship together. We don't have to do it alone.
Right. And we desperately need each other. And I think you make such an excellent point there that it's sort of a rabbit trail, but we need to keep sharing our stories of how God intervened and called us to this, because when we share our story, I find that it resonates in different ways with different audience members.
Sure.
And it's so important that we don't stop telling our story thinking our story is normal. Maybe you've always wanted to homeschool, or maybe your story is weird or strange or whatever. That's just the enemy trying to get us silenced. We need to be telling our stories, and because it glorifies God. And that's what our testimony is all about, is giving him glory. So share your story, tell your story, tell your story. The Bible says to the next generation. So we got to keep doing that.
Yeah, that's right. And it's an encouragement to know that we're not alone in the fear of homeschooling. Right. And we're not alone. I was talking with Heidi about this earlier. You know, so many moms, most moms that you and I know, and you and I included, don't feel like we're well enough equipped to teach our kids and to have them home. And we're responsible. It's like all of that weight is on our shoulders. Yeah. We feel like, but then once we get into it and we realize, you know what, it's not. The Lord is going to do it all for us. I mean, we have to be, you know, we're his vessels. We've got to put forth work, but it's not all on us. It's not all our responsibility. If we trust the Lord, he's going to equip us with everything that we need in order to accomplish what he's called us to.
Exactly. And that's how you detonate that bomb, right? So often I'm with, certainly in the early days when we would all go grocery shopping. So it was me instead of children, right? Shopping carts. And someone would say, oh, I could never do that. And I'm like, me either.
Right.
You know, I can't do this. I need you to. And really, I think we need to be honest about that. We don't need to act like we're doing this.
If
we're doing this, we're in over our head and we don't even know it.
Yes.
We need to be the first one to say, I'm not, right? God is doing this. This is, and I could tell stories for a really long time about all that God has done. This has not been this blonde. This has been a work of God. And I have just gotten to sit on the front seat and watch him do amazing things. I've been, just amazed at what he's done, but it hasn't been because I figured it out.
Nope. It's because he's a good God and he is faithful to do that.
Indeed.
And so one of the things that causes us as parents to feel like we can't do this is because oftentimes we have that child.
Yeah, it's true.
And so I want to talk about that today.
Okay.
You know, when we were choosing sessions, it was really fun. It was almost seemed like a game that we were getting to play and like, who's going to win this one? You know, we got to go through all the different sessions that so many of you speakers have.
Yeah.
And just reading through all of them, and you had so many good ones. And this was the one that I really felt like for today, because today's focus really is setting a firm foundation for homeschooling, understanding our why of homeschooling.
Yeah.
Understanding that, again, God will provide everything that we need and do it. And sometimes do it scared.
Scared. Oh,
it's okay to do it scared, because it's oftentimes most of the time we do. Anything worth doing is scary. Sometimes, you know, having a baby for the first time is scary.
Getting married. It's terrifying. Having a second baby.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's just, I think you need to do it scared, with fear and trembling on your knees.
That's
right. You know, when you think you can just walk through and just, you don't need to be on your knees anymore. You know, there's scripture for that. So, you need to do it on your knees. I can remember so many days I was just on my face just going, God, I have no idea how to get this done today.
Yep.
I don't know.
And then he fills the gaps.
He does it.
Yeah.
He does.
Apologia Educational Ministries is happy to sponsor this episode of the Schoolhouse Rock podcast. Apologia is the number one publisher for homeschooling families with over 110 number one awards. Now that's impressive, but more importantly, that's why Apologia is trusted by homeschooling families all across the USA. Speaking of the USA, Americans will soon be voting. As with any election, the future of our country and the U.S. Constitution is at stake. Your students need to know and understand our country's most foundational document. Fortunately, we have the perfect course to help: constitutional literacy. This is a video-based course with an accompanying student notebook. The author is Mike Ferris, current president and CEO of Alliance Defending Freedom. You can view a free video, download a sample lesson, and get more details at apologia.com/constitution. You can even take advantage of a 20% off promotion. Go to apologia.com/constitution and order your copy of Constitutional Literacy.
And so one of those scary things I know is for the mom, and most moms, if you have more than one child, you have that child.
Right.
And that child can mean a million different things.
It can.
Fill in the that.
It can. And that's a great first question. What is that child? Well, on the one hand, I would say simply, it's the child that you most often conflict with, right? So it can be that they are innately strong-willed and defiant, right? It can be that your personalities are just so similar that you're just neither one of you is going to move. It may not be as much of a willful thing as it may just be that you're both willful.
Yeah.
That's really the target audience that I went through when I started talking on this subject. But I will say that I have heard from parents with children who have severe learning disabilities or physical disabilities or challenges, or children who are adopted or have some sort of a psychological or an emotional issue that also fit into that category. Mm-hmm. So it can be as narrow as the strong-willed child that seems determined to make everything hard. And certainly I think almost all of us have that child, right? But it can also be as broad as your weakest link. And I don't mean that in this oppressively negative way. I just mean the one that takes the most of you, the most of your time that you're like planning around. And so like when you have an infant, the infant can kind of qualify as that child, right? Because that's what that's going to be. So I have been narrow, and yet I've allowed the moms to fill in that blank, because I've found that a lot of what I say on the topic ministers to a broader spectrum of moms than I had originally intended. And I think that's just the work of God, how he weaves us all together. But off the top of my head, it's that strong-willed, defiant kid that when you say black, they say white. And that's where you're drawing the line at 7:30 a.m. You know, they're not even out of their room yet. And that's the battle line drawn. So, yeah.
Yeah. Why, in talking about homeschooling, why do you think it's even important to talk about that child?
Oh,
how does that affect our whole world of having our kids at home with us?
It's a tiny space, and right? It gets smaller when you have one of them. I mean, everything shrinks, right? The walls come in, and you just feel the burden that you talked about earlier, the responsibility, it like weighs 1,000 extra pounds when you have that child, because you feel they are most likely to make you feel like you're completely messing up. Mm-hmm. If you ever thought that you had anything figured out, if you have that child, you come to the point where you have nothing figured out. There are days you don't know your own name. I mean, it's just so hard. And I think we want to be successful. If we're going to take this on, we want to honor God. I think that's our highest calling as homeschool parents. And we want to raise a generation that honors God in word and deed. And so we've got these things that we're trying to do. And that child can be a point of embarrassment and shame. And the enemy wants to make us feel like we're the only one that has one, and make us feel isolated and alone. I mean, homeschooling can make you feel isolated and alone anyway, right? Everybody's shorter than you. No one can buckle themselves in. No one makes a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. You're responsible for wiping everyone's nose. I mean, it's just, there's a lot. And then you've got the academics on top of that. And then, but if you've got that child, sometimes you don't feel like you can go out, right? You feel like, oh my goodness, he doesn't obey at home. If I take him out, he's not going to obey out. You know, he's going to hit somebody. He's going to yell and scream. He's going to cause a scene. And so the world closes even further in. And I think one of the things, so I've gone across the country speaking on this topic, and wherever I have the opportunity, and I'll say the honor and the privilege to talk on this topic because I am a that child advocate. I am not. Some of the moms have panicked and they don't like the title because it sounds like I'm being judgmental and mean and thoughtless and cruel. And I am labeling that child. That is not my heart at all. Hear my heart. I want to advocate for that child and I want to advocate for that mom. And I want to assure that mom that God has a plan having put that child in her home. Yeah. So that is really my heart. And as I have spoken across the country on this topic, the room is almost always packed out, right? Some mothers are coming in and they're like, this is the reason I came to the conference. You know, I mean, they're like, I saw this on the list of workshops and this is why I drove 8 hours was to hear this. And I mean, they just sort of sit there with their arms crossed. I mean, they're just like, tell me something. Tell me something. And then other mothers come in and they're crying when they're walking in. And I think that is most profoundly told in one story. So I spoke at this huge mom's event a few years ago, and the way they assigned your room was that the attendees signed up for the session. So they put you in a room based on how many people signed up to come to your session.
Okay.
This was the first time I talked on this issue. You have to know that. So I have never spoken at this conference before. And so I'm expecting to be in some back closet, right? Because all the big name mom speakers are there. I'm a nobody, right? So I'm thinking if they put me in a room that seats five and we're going to sit in a semicircle, that would just be glorious, right? I walk in and they have got me in a stadium seated room that sat 500. And I'm and so I'm waiting backstage with fear and trembling, right? I'm like going over everything in my head. I'm praying out loud, sweet Jesus, you know, come and meet each one of these moms, fill in the gaps, edit my presentation, do what only you can do. And this one, they're coming in, right? They're coming in, they're filling up, and I can watch backstage. And this one mom came in and she sat straight to the stadium seating. So she sat straight across from me, dead center. And there was not an empty seat.
Wow.
And from the moment, I still can't tell the story. From the moment I stepped out on stage, she started crying. I said, welcome. I'm so glad to see you. And I want all of you to look around. And I want the first thing I want you to see is you're not alone.
Yeah.
You're not alone. She sat there and sobbed. And I start praying, right? So when you're a speaker, you see the person who's dozing. Right. See the person, not on this forum, but you see the person who's on their cell phone the whole time. You see the person, you know, you see things that people think that you don't notice. You see them. And so the whole time she's sobbing. And she was on her phone a couple of times. And I'm just thinking, sweet Jesus, just meet her. Did someone die? What is her burden? Why, you know, what is the deal? And she cried the whole time. And I prayed for her the whole time. So at the end of my session, they had somebody with me to get me out of the room for the next speaker to come in. And they announced, you know, you can meet Rachel in the hall. And so we're not, she's not going to meet you here. You need to go out there. Well, guess who's the first person in line to talk to me?
Her.
That mom.
Yeah.
She could not speak. She was still shaking and sobbing. And she said to me, I'm not the only one.
Wow.
I'm not the only one. And she said that was worth the drive to know that I'm not the only one. The enemy had me convinced that I was the only one. She said, I didn't even think your workshop would make it. I didn't even think it would make it because they had like a minimum. I don't know what it was of how many people had to sign up for a session for it to make. And she was like, I didn't even think it would make it. And when I sat there and all of those other mothers came in, I thought the enemy is a liar. And that's what these moms need to know. Yep. They need to know that you're not alone. Number two, they need to know that God has a plan. It's not an accident. It's not a cosmic payback. God's not up there laughing at you going, ha, you were one. Here's yours. It's not an answer to your mother's prayer. None of that. Right. Yeah. All of that is just a lie. You've got to hold on to the fact that God knows what he's up to.
Yeah.
And he has a plan for that kid. And he has a plan for you, mom. Yeah. It's both and. It's not just them. It's both and. It's you too. And God has this incredible work that he wants to do in both of you.
Yeah. Oh, that's so powerful.
Every year, parents just like you are discovering Classical Conversations, a vibrant, supportive Christian homeschooling program that's been equipping parents since 1997 with the resources, tools, guidance, and encouragement they need to homeschool their children with confidence and prepare them for a lifetime of success. Visit our website at classicalconversations.com to find a nearby community and learn more about homeschooling the Classical Conversations way. Classical Conversations, Christian homeschooling simplified.
Does it feel like you spend more time searching for educational videos than watching them? Are you looking for educational games and activity books? Do you need some virtual field trips to supplement your studies? Then Homeschool History is for you. Homeschool History is a new online resource from the team at Knotgrass History. You can use your phone, tablet, or computer to find history-related videos, games, websites, field trips, and more. Visit homeschoolhistory.com to start your free trial today. You know, there's, I think, nothing as a homeschool mom, I know for myself, that's made me want to throw in the towel faster in homeschooling than a child who's difficult to deal with. And I don't know if you were like this, but before I had kids, I said this earlier today, Garrett and I were married for almost 11 years before we had our first child. I was 31 when I became a mom for the first time.
Wow.
So for 11 years, I had a chance to observe all of these other kids and parents, and I would see kids throwing tantrums. And of course, I was the best mom because I wasn't a mom yet. And I would say, my kids will never do that. I'm going to have more control over them. Of course, I'm going to be an excellent mom. I mean, I had already read books on parenting. And I had observed and I had gone to parenting conferences before we even had kids. Like, I knew this gig.
Yeah.
I love babies. I knew how this was going to work. And then God gave me kids. And I was like, maybe I don't actually know what I'm doing. You know, there it will derail you as a homeschool parent faster than anything else. And I would imagine, I might be wrong here, but I would imagine that with seven kids and the fact that you talk on this, that you may or may not have a child or two or four who are that child.
It's true.
You've dealt with this.
I have. And it was our oldest child. So we talk about the miracle is that we had six more because he reared his head. We knew it when he was like 9 months old. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, oh my goodness. I mean, and I thought, okay, get how green this is. I mean, you want to talk about naivete. Okay. This is what I thought. I thought when he's throwing a fit at 9 months old, instead of going, oh, you're going to be strong-willed, I thought that we were getting the terrible twos over early.
Oh,
I thought, oh, we'll just get this over now at 9 months. And then we'll just, you know, cause I'm like you, I get this parenting thing. I was such a great critic before I was
right.
I knew exactly how I was going to do it. I was going to be on top of everything. Right. And never let them see you sweat, all of that stuff.
Right.
So it is, it derails you. It's incredibly humbling.
Yes.
I think that's my other message is I do think you're dead on. It is a means by which the enemy picks off many a good mom.
Yes.
And I'm just like, daggummit, dig your heels in. Yeah. Resolve not to let this be the thing. Because I would suggest to you that one of the heartbreaking things to me is I will have moms come up to me and go, I will homeschool these other children, but not that one.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yikes, ouch. I mean, what are you saying? Right. This is my thing. Of all of your kids, the one that needs you to homeschool them the most is that kid.
That's right.
They're the ones that need you the most. You know why? Because you have the most invested with them and you're the least likely person on the planet to give up on them. You can't pay a teacher enough. Come on. I mean, really. They've got your heart if you would but dare give it to them.
Yeah.
And the other part of that is, and I say this a lot, and this is a big deal to a lot of moms. Listen to me. We waste a lot of time talking about and commiserating together. And, you know, this is my whole big thing about social media on Facebook. You know, you'll hear all these moms whining and complaining about that child, you know, and you just want to go, stop. we've got to stop. We've got to rise above that, because here's what I want you to get a picture for. You think it's hard to be the mother of that child? You need to get a picture of how hard it is to be them. Hmm. It's hard to be them.
Yeah.
Because what I've learned with my, you know, you're right. I have more than one model. And I've got one currently still at home. So my oldest one will be 30 this year, and we both survived each other. It's a great thing. An amazing story of God's grace, what God has done in his life. I've had three daughters, so I've had female models, but I have one at home right now. And what I've learned about that child is there is so much going on in here, that they cannot communicate. They can't articulate their frustration, their anger, it's all swirling, right? And mm-hmm. we just want them to do what we want them to do. And right. guess what? They need us to dare to not demand of them, but to dare to listen to them, to engage with them, to help them unpack all the swirl that's going on in here. Your compliant child, you're going to ask them to do something, they're going to do it. And they're going to make you look like a great parent, right? It's the tough one that you're going to have to dare to invest that time with and have that conversation again, right? I mean, because you had it yesterday. You had it earlier today, maybe, right? Maybe
5 minutes ago.
Right. Exactly. And that's the thing, right? We want them. I'll speak for myself, although I think I could say we. I wanted him to make me look good, and he didn't, mm-hmm. right? And that was when the problem was I was trying to make this whole homeschool gig all about me. Mm. I didn't think it was, but when you have that child, you learn a lot of ugly things about yourself.
Right.
And you want to put it off on them. But remember, God is sovereign on the throne. It's not just about them.
Right.
It's about us too. And we have to be willing to dare to think about what it's like to be them and how can we meet them where they are. One of the glorious things, one of many glorious things about Jesus. I'm a huge advocate of studying the life of Jesus. God came down and put on human flesh and walked the planet. And it's so important for us to study his life. And I mean, over and over and over, be in the Gospels, read mm-hmm. about what he did, what he said, how he responded, how he listened, how he acted, it's amazing. One of the things in reading the Gospels over and over and over, you see this pattern of Jesus meeting people where they were. Mm. That's awesome. He did not require all the time for everyone to come to him. Yes, there's the Sermon on the Mount, right, in Matthew, and there's the Sermon on the Plain, right, in Luke. So those are a couple of examples. You've got a few times in the synagogue. I get it. By and large, Jesus went to where people were that he knew needed him. He didn't require. And see, that's where we get hung up as mothers of that child. We want them to come where we are. We need to dare to go where they are. We need to meet them where they are, in their frustration, in their angst, their anxiety, mm-hmm. where they don't understand. We don't need to demand that they come to us. And that means, Mom, that we downshift, right? We downshift our lesson plan, our expectations for the day. We reorder our time, our rhythm, to meet them where they are. And that investment is never wasted.
Can you be a little bit more specific on meeting them where they're at? Because, sure. You know, we have two children and one of them is very, very strong-willed. Sure. And I actually do understand her because she's just like me. Sure. And my mom's probably watching this and I know my husband's watching it and they would both agree.
Yeah.
She gets, and so I get it. And it's been, in some ways it makes it harder for me. Because I understand her. I understand what's going through her brain. And on the other hand, it makes it easy for me because I understand what's going on in her brain. And so one of the things that we've taught her, and it's been so sweet. She's been praying this more and more on her own, just during our you know, family prayer time, as I've told her, God has given you a strong will.
Yes.
For a purpose.
Yes.
But you have to use that strong will in a way that honors him and not, and doesn't dishonor him. Right. And so she prays that on her own. She's been praying, you know, God, please help me to use my strong will in a way that honors you.
Yes.
And it's so sweet. And it, you know, it's so sweet that, you know, during that, those few minutes of prayer, but then, you know, the other 12 hours of the day, as we're battling that strong
moments,
will.
Though, but God gives you those moments of hope to hold on to, right?
Well, and she tries so hard. I mean, she tells us all the time, I'm not trying to disobey. And we're like, I understand that, but let's figure out how to get this.
Yeah.
You know, how do you meet them where they're at? So explain that.
Yeah. I want to back up just a little bit. I love that whole prayer of her heart and that vision that you've given her, because that's one of the things we cannot fail to interject. And we're going to talk about that child is the ones that are definitively strong-willed. Good grief. We whine and complain about the culture. And then we complain that God sent us a strong-willed child. Right. These are the kids that change the world.
That's
We've
right.
got to get a vision for God's plan for them. I mean, this would be like Joshua's mother rejecting him because he was strong-willed, or Daniel's mother, you know, he's too strong-willed. I mean, think of all of the men and women biblically that were strong-willed. Peter is my consummate example. We need a generation of strong-willed young men and women who are sold out for the cause for Christ. And they're going to dig their heels in and they're not going to back down. This is the moment.
Yeah.
So we've got, if we want them to rise to the occasion, we've got to rise to the occasion. And that's what this is about. So kudos to you. And I would ask the other moms and dads, cast that vision. God has not accidentally given them a strong will just to try you. He's given them the strong will so that you as the parent can be in cooperation with the God on the throne to mold that strong will into something that he can use for his kingdom and his glory.
That's right.
So pray that over them. I used to go in at night, still go in at night with my current one and pray for the other ones at, you know, at a distance now, and lay my hands and just say, sweet Jesus, do what only you can do in his heart, mind, and soul. He's got the strength, right? Do a mighty work. So yeah, and pray that for them and with them and give them that vision as they come into their own.
I hope you've enjoyed part one of this conversation with Rachel Carman. Be sure to join us again on Wednesday for part two. Until then, have a fantastic day.